Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Doing good.
We're living through crazy times. Politically and environmentally and economically, the one thing that remains fixed is that people are dying of pulmonary embolisms, which is a segue to our first poem.
A really, really terrible segue, but I'll let you have that.
Okay. Listeners will know that it's hard to escape dealing with patients with PE or suspected PE. PE, pulmonary embolism, is a form of venous thromboembolism. It is common, perhaps much more common than we even recognize, and unfortunately often fatal. The clinical presentation can be variable, and it's nonspecific. So that makes the diagnosis really hard, right? Somebody comes in with shortness of breath or chest pain. We try to evaluate patients with PE so that it's efficient, so that we can diagnose them. And if they do have a PE, begin therapy quickly. We know that the sooner you begin therapy, the lower the morbidity and mortality. There are lots of ways that we classify PE. Some people use temporal patterns. Is it acute or subacute or chronic? Some people look at hemodynamic stability. Some people look at the location. Is it a saddle, a lobar, a segmental, etc.? And some people present or classify based on the absence or presence of symptoms. Is the patient asymptomatic or symptomatic? In terms of epidemiology, I'll spare listeners lots of details, but a couple of things that are interesting. One, PE has increased in the general population. That's almost certainly a result of D-dimer testing. So it's not the disease has increased necessarily, but our diagnosis of it has. Males, much higher than females. The rates of PE rise with increasing age. It has about 100,000 people a year die of PE. Just by comparison, 30,000 people die of prostate cancer and 44,000 women die of breast cancer. So it's a major killer, and the mortality appears to be quite high. So we have a low threshold for working up somebody with chest pain, and often that involves using computed tomographic angiograms and D-dimers. The CTA, computerized tomographic angiograms, CTA exposure, results in a lot of radiation, and it's expensive. So the question is there an evidence-based way to evaluate patients? Mark, you found a study. It was just published in 2017 in the journal Lancet. It addresses the clinical question, can a simple clinical decision tool safely decrease the use of computerized tomographic angiograms in patients when we suspect PE?
I know many of our listeners are familiar with the Wells rule, and there are a bunch of other ones, the Geneva rule, and I think the PISA rule. There's several of these clinical decision rules and various flavors of them. They all share a lot of the same signs and symptoms we all associate with PE, and they're designed to help objectify the care and the evaluation and avoid unnecessary testing. You know, the radiation can from a CT angiogram is pretty substantial, and especially if someone has, you know, several of these over a period of a few years, it really can appreciably increase their risk of cancer, not to mention the cost and the incidental omas that we find, things like that. So, and a part of the problem, as you noted correctly, is sort of misuse of the D-dimer test. The D-dimer is useless when it's positive. So it should only be used in conjunction with one of these rules and only when the patient is evaluated as being low risk. Okay, that's the typical recommendation. So if someone is low risk, then you check a D-dimer. If that's negative, you rule it out. If it's positive, just a D-dimer alone that's positive isn't that helpful. So as a result, we have lots and lots of people getting scanned, and the prevalence of PE when it's clinically suspected has been going down somewhat. So these Dutch researchers said, well, let's look at this Wells rule in a contemporary population and also see if we can develop an even simpler one. Now, they call it the years rule, but years doesn't really stand for anything as far as I can tell. And it has three factors. First of all, the patient has, you believe the patient has some clinical signs of DVT. They have evidence of hemoptysis. and you think your clinical gut is that PE is the most likely diagnosis. So there are three things, and they really do rely on being a reasonably experienced clinician, I think. So it'd be harder for a student or an intern to apply this. So everybody got a D-dimer test as well, and they were scored using this new simple three-item model, or the Wells score. And what they found was, basically, if a patient had zero of these years factors, zero of those three, and the D-dimer was less than 1,000, they ruled out PE. If they had one or more years factors, but the D-dimer was less than 500, they ruled out PE. If a patient had none of them, none of these factors, but the D-dimer was 1,000 or greater, they did order a CT. And if they had one or more and the D-dimer was greater than 500, they ordered one. So it's a little bit complex, and it's worth, you know, pulling the article if you want to dig deeper into this. But what they did was they followed all the patients up. About 13% were diagnosed with a PE right in the ER, you know, during the initial evaluation. Of the remaining nearly 3,000, 18 had a PE that was diagnosed in the next 3 months. Six of those 18 were fatal. So that's 0.6% miss rate and a 0.2% fatal miss rate, if you will. So that's the downside. The plus side is their algorithm ended up using fewer CT scans, about 14 or 15% difference reduction in terms of CT scans. So it was somewhat reducing that exposure and expense and inconvenience. But the price was that there was you did miss some. Now, just to put that in perspective, most of these clinical decision rules and the best algorithms will miss someone. And it's typically in the range of, you know, around 0.5% that end up getting missed. So bottom line, there's a simplified algorithm in patients with suspected PE. It can safely decrease the number of CT angiograms if you define safe as being willing to miss about one in 180 or so PEs.
You know, we talk, Mark, about POMS and patient-oriented outcomes. Nobody ever died of a missed CT angiogram. What they die of is the PE. So the question is, of those ones that we're missing, are they? Is there any evidence that they're clinically insignificant, or is this really harming patients in terms of missing something that is significant that really does need to be treated?
Yeah, well, clearly the fatal ones were clinically significant. Right. Of the other 12, you're correct. We get, as we use better and better CT technology, we are diagnosing more and more PEs that are subsegmental. And there are some trials underway looking at whether those patients with a subsegmental PE actually need to be treated or not.
Great. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you in a week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.